Father, we just praise the wonderful name of your Son, Jesus. Father, thank you for sending him. Thank you for giving him. Oh, thank you for that great love that will not let us go. Oh, we're so thankful today. So grateful, God, that it's the love of your Son that we come to rejoice and to praise you in praising his name. How pleased you are that your love causes us to love your Son. And in loving your Son, we love the Father. Thank you that we come boldly today. Thank you, God, that you've caused our hearts to be quickened to expect from you that, Lord, everything that you give is good. And, Lord, there's nothing better than the Word of God. Help us to receive it today. Help us to just feast upon what you have for us. May your Spirit that you so preciously sent to us just anoint every heart, every word. God, open our hearts today to be filled with all the fullness of God. We thank you again for this precious time. May your Son receive all the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise his name. Well, if you'd like to open your Bibles with me, we're going to the book of Jonah. And what a precious book it is. And I'll begin reading some various verses. And I believe the Lord will open up a sweet time for us. Verse 1, chapter 1. Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the son of Amittai, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me. Verse 3. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord and went down to Joppa. Now, most of you know this precious story. And Jonah goes ahead and gets on that boat. And it's a boat that is not headed anywhere near Nineveh. It is headed for Tarshish. It is headed completely away from the presence of the Lord. And we know that he gets upon that boat and the waves begin to roar. There's a big storm that comes up and the men begin to fear that are with him. And they're wondering, why has this come to us? You can imagine that they sure didn't expect the seas to be like this. They didn't see anything in the forecast, did they? They didn't know what was in their boat. And even though they didn't want to get it out of the boat, when Jonah told them about what was going on, they all agreed, we better get this thing out of the boat. And they threw him out of the boat. And you get over there to the 17th verse of the first chapter, and it says, Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah. And that was a great fish. It had a great, wonderful message that Jonah was going to receive. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. Chapter 2, verse 1. Then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly. Yeah, that was a good thing. Wonderful thing. There's a lot of, I'm smelling a lot of things maybe in here today. There's lots of you in the belly of a fish. Get to praying. It's a good thing. Praise God. Well, we know that the Lord convicted his heart all the way through chapter 2. Such wonderful things were going on. And then in verse 10 of chapter 2, it says, The Lord spake unto the fish and vomited out Jonah upon the dry land. And going on in chapter 3. And the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time, saying, Arise, go unto Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee. So Jonah arose and went unto Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now, I've been so sweetly inspired ever since Brother Mal Hyatt had given that precious sermon. Almost can't even think about how precious it was to my heart and my son's hearts and your hearts. Praise be to God for that message. Now, not any praise to Brother Mal Hyatt, but thanks be to God that there was a vessel willing that God was going to do something. But he gave that precious message, and the Lord started dealing with me. And there's so many precious truths in this scripture here. So many wonderful encouragements, brothers and sisters. But maybe there is none greater than the true moral of the whole story, which is in verse 3 of chapter 3. Do according to the word of the Lord. Get to Nineveh. Get to Nineveh. Quit messing around. Face it, brothers and sisters. Anywhere but Nineveh is always the same place. Any time that we flee the presence of the Lord, and the presence of the Lord is God's perfect place of abiding. That's exactly where He wants you, is the place of abiding. And did you know that that's exactly what the word Nineveh means? It means to abide, the place of abiding. But see, once we decide to go any other way than the place of abiding, brothers and sisters, it is always the same result. You'll sail towards the land of, or the city of, she will cause poverty. And that's exactly what Tarshish means. She will cause poverty. Now really, you couldn't make this stuff up. You couldn't. This is absolutely too completely beyond perfect. She will cause poverty. I'll translate that to you. You'll be robbed. You'll be robbed. Now, I want you to think about this. See, going down to Tarshish, brothers and sisters, does not necessarily mean that Jonah was bagging God altogether. He wasn't doing that. Maybe he wasn't going down there to sow to the flesh. There is a thought that actually in Tarshish, there were godly movements going on down there at that time. And maybe he thought to himself, well, you know, Lord, I know you said this. I know you thought this. But there's some things going on down there in Tarshish that seem to be good. And boy, that Nineveh is an awful wicked place. Why would you want me to go there? Think about that. Well, kind of reminded me of that story about that little boy who his dad said, now son, I'm going into town today. I want you to paint the barn. Come on now. I know there's a few that are at least as old as I am and up there. The others will get the story here in a minute. But they said, go paint the barn. And so his dad goes into the city and he comes back and he sees that the barn's not painted, but the fence is. So the little boy went out and painted the fence instead of the barn. And he's sitting there, he's all proud and smiling and said, oh my goodness, Dad's going to be so happy. Dad wasn't happy. He says, well, Dad, I painted the fence. He says, doesn't matter, son. I told you to paint the barn. Listen to this now. We need to wake up to this. The greatest robbery, I believe, that's going on in Christianity today, and we've heard it many times, but God help us to always keep these things in remembrance. But the greatest robbery that's going on in Christianity today is Christian good. And it is. It is. Compromise, brothers and sisters. And I'm talking about compromising pulpits. I'm talking about beggarly element Bible studies, vain imagination, prophecy, and the abundance. Oh, the abundance of kingdom teaching and kingdom preaching. Now, I do want to make mention of this, just so everybody knows. However Christ is preached, I am not saying that that is a bad thing. You've heard me quote it very many times. And more importantly, it says in the Word of God that however Christ is preached, I therein do rejoice. Amen? Amen. However Christ is preached. Emphasize that. Not whatever you think should be preached, but however Christ is preached. But what don't we want to get and what don't we want to receive when Christ Jesus told sweet Martha, a woman very zealous of the things of God, a godly woman, a woman that really loved God. But what don't you want to receive when he has to basically shake her down a little bit and said, Martha, don't you bother Mary. She has chosen the more excellent place. Not just a better place. You look that up. It's the perfect place. And if you know that story, Mary was sitting right at the feet of Jesus. And then what about dear Aquila and Priscilla? There they were sent of the Lord to minister to Brother Apollos, a wonderful preacher, a man very zealous of the things of God, mighty in spirit, it says. But yet that dear little odd couple went to that very educated, skilled, and very much in love with the Lord man and preached unto him a more perfect way. Huh? Then you start reading about Apollos and you'll see. You talk about getting it on for the Lord. Hallelujah. He grew mighty in the scriptures. He came and preached the gospel of Christ. Oh my goodness, how that works. And then in Revelation 3, brothers and sisters, the Lord there, as we know, He compliments that church at Ephesus. He compliments them in many things. He even says, especially their labor for His name. He says that twice. But lest we ever forget, what is His prized possession? It's the perfecting of the saints. Amen. It is the perfecting of us, brothers and sisters. And lest we ever forget that perfecting is maturity. God so plainly tells us He wants us to grow up into Him in all things in Christ. Everything. Nothing lacking, complete, fully furnished, that we would be filled with all the fullness of God. That's a mighty calling. That is your calling. I would that all men be saved and come to the full, the complete knowledge of the truth. I pray we always keep that in remembrance. I pray that that would be the beat of our heart. Lord, praise God. Let me keep panting after that. See, all this other stuff's going to fade. All the choruses you could ever sing that's going to excite your flesh for a while, it's going to die out. It is. All of the good that you think you're going to do and all the things that God you think is going to use you for, He just might not. Huh? Oh, but my brother so-and-so and sister, they had the word of the day for me. She had a vision for my life. My mama said, oh my. Mothers, pray for your children. Daddies, pray. Pray that God would have His way in your home. God, help us not to have a vision for our children that would be anything but all the perfect and complete will of God. That, Lord, no matter what, naturally speaking, I would love to see come to pass, grow these young ones up to be the mighty men and women of God. Whatever it takes. Oh, that's a statement that hurts. But it's a statement that, oh my goodness, the riches of His glory, the riches of His grace, the payday someday, how immense. But brothers and sisters, even though He compliments Ephesus in many things, even though He tells them that laboring for my name is such a good thing, we know that, as we quoted earlier today, that His inheritance in the saints is what He's after. See, He's after a mighty return on His investment. I mean, you talk about a hundredfold. You haven't even touched the surface with what God wants out of you. What He wants to put in you. Hallelujah. What He has already placed in you. But it's what He wants to grow up in you. And having you praise Him that He has placed in you. But this is why, even though He compliments Ephesus for all of these things, He so boldly points out the one thing. No matter how many compliments there were, the one thing was upon His mind. And that one thing that was above any compliment was, thou hast left thy first love. Amen? Amen. Come on. Thou hast left thy first love. God help us not to skate over that great statement. You see, no matter how much good you ever think could be gained by going down to a Tarshish? No matter how much good you think is there, all the while you'll be robbed of God's best. You will. Amen, amen, amen. No matter how much good you think that this path is going to take you, once you have departed the presence of the Lord, once you have departed Nineveh, the abiding place, it's robbery. It will bring leanness to your soul. I don't want a lean soul. Oh, I want a fat soul. I want a soul so full. Praise God that it just brings me the joy unspeakable and full of glory. That in the midst of the furnace which God will bring us to and keep us in and bring us through, I rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Amen? Amen? Amen. Come on now. This is some stuff that He's bringing out here. Brothers and sisters, is it going to be a life of wood, hay, and stubble? Or is it going to be the gold, the silver, and the precious stone? Now we know, even naturally speaking, in this world, that gold, silver, and precious stone, it's rare. And you may not have a whole bunch. But I'll tell you what. If you'll meet Him with just the amount that He's allowed you to have, do you know how rich you'll be? This in Christ? What want I more? Hallelujah! That's what I want from Him. I want Him. I want His life. I want His desires. I want His plan. I want His purpose. God, let me get on the ship to go to Nineveh. Do you see that? You're not going to get on that ship going to Tarshish and say, well, we're going to steer to something good. Or that we're going to get over here to Nineveh. No, you're not. There's a ship that's launching out. And it's the ship of yielding. It's the ship of saying, Lord, have your way. It's truly, as it says on that sweet little inscription that sister gave me, it's the unknown door. It's that unfamiliar door. It can be a fearful door. You know why? Because you don't know anything about it. But it's always the path to a new inheritance. It's always the path to something greater. It's always the path to something bigger. I'm not talking about what this world says. You may be stripped of pretty much everything in your life. I don't know what He's got planned. But the one thing I do know, if you'll board up on that ship going to Nineveh, the place of abiding, you'll never be sorry. You'll have a boatload of joy. Sure, there'll be sorrow there, but you'll have joy in the sorrow. Sure, there'll be nighttime there, but He'll give you songs in the night. Sure, there'll be suffering there, but you're not going to suffering as them that don't have any hope. You're going to know why. That ship is so fully supplied, it will sustain your every single need. But it's that one ship. It's that one ship. All right? Praise His name. Brothers and sisters, His perfect will is always in the city of abiding. Abiding. See, listen to that word, abiding. It means to occupy, sit. I've had people say, well, brother, how long am I going to sit there? How about till He come? What do you think? That's where I want to be found. How about you? Huh? Come on. We're in a precious time. We're going to be, if the Lord tarries, celebrating Easter here pretty soon. You've been reading the scriptures and really see what was going on in the life of your Savior at this time. The pressing was on, wasn't it? Going to a garden and crying and sweating out drops of blood. for you. Huh? He was ready to be offered. He knew that his time had come. Is he whispering that to you today? Do you think your time has come? Huh? They're singing about it. What do you think? Brother Bob was playing about it. United in wedlock divine. Do you think you could wait for that? Now, I know you're sitting there going, oh, and I see a lot of heads bowing too. Oh, God, help me. That's what I want you to say. I need help. If you're not going to pray, God help you, pray, God help me. Seriously. But he's not going to give up on you. He's not. See, he keeps bringing us in, doesn't he? Keep drawing us in. Don't let that old enemy think that he's got something on you. He doesn't. We had that sweet sermon not too long ago about the chains. Oh, I'm bound. No, you're not. Those are lies. Because I read you're free. Are you free? No, really, are you free? I pray you know that. So if you're free in him, what could bind you? It's got to be a lie, isn't it? What's a lie? It didn't happen. Think about it. Lies don't happen. Because it's not the truth. Truth is you're free. All right. I'm going to just have to ask for the Spirit to quicken us. I think we're a little exhausted from the hour. But it's going to be the hour you think not. But I'm so thankful he just said that I was awake, loving his appearing. It didn't matter how I felt. I've seen some brides that were crying before they came down here too. So that's all good. But Nineveh, brothers and sisters, is the state of readying for God's very best. I love all my brothers and sisters in the Word of God. I am so thankful so much for Sister Esther. It says that she appeared before the king with nothing except what Haggai, the keeper of the women, had appointed under her. See, she didn't know anything better. She didn't know anything else. I always remember that dear brother as he was witnessing to that man that had been caught in legality all of his life. And the Lord was giving him the truth and bringing him out of that bondage. Lies. Amen? Amen. Lies. Because this brother had those lies in his life before too. And he said, you know what, brother? You got to unlearn those things. Unlearn them. You got to be like that Esther. She didn't know anything but. She just said, I was told to listen to this man, the Holy Spirit. And he's going to take all the things of Christ and he's going to give them to me. Hallelujah. Amen. Yeah, yeah. See, you're complete. Praise God. See, Nineveh is the one thing, brothers and sisters. It is the best part. It's what makes all the earth's things we thought so important just fade away. Nineveh puts everything in perspective. Everything in its proper place. Every trial, every joy, every heartache. It puts it right there where I'm seated. Right in the heavens with Him. Praise the Lord. I am so grateful to God. There have been some great trials going on lately. Every time I try to deal with one down here, I am completely overwhelmed. Every time, praise God, I realize I'm seated over there. It's glory. I see it right as He sees it. The Word speaks to me right there. Hallelujah. It comforts me right there. I'm in the midst of the throne room. Hallelujah, right there. God speaks to me so sweetly. He says, honey, read. Isn't this wonderful? Look right over here. Here's the Word. He's sitting right at my right hand, and I want you to see Him and let Him speak these things to you. Amen. And it's so marvelous. He's there, and He's placed me right there with Him. And he says, oh, I'm for you. And if I be for you, who could be against you, honey? Huh? Oh, and don't think it's strange that you have right there. Praise God, you've brought it right here into the throne room. We're dealing with that right as you speak. Matter of fact, son, don't you realize that on the cross I finished that work for you? Aren't you thankful, son, that you're entering into these joint sufferings with me? Because I'm giving you a vision right now that you're going to be glorified together with me. I love to hold the Word of God. Oh, it's my rest. It's my treasure. It's everything. Brother asked me again yesterday, and I'm so grateful to God I can just receive the blessing of the Word of God in my life. And he said, brother, what about this ministry? What about being a minister? What about preaching the Word of God? How do you feel? You know, to tell you the truth, I don't know. But I can tell you this, woe is me if I preach not the gospel of Christ. He's got me in a place. I'm shut up to Jesus Christ. And there's no better place. No. Don't like to think about other things. Is my sister sitting over there? Well, honey, some things just don't matter much. This is the only thing that does matter. This is it. This is what has the final word. Because this is the only word that's going to be. Because this is the only word that bees. There. I'll wake some of the educated up with that. Brothers and sisters, it's no longer about what I do. It's no longer about, in a sense, who I am in this world. And I'm really talking about Christian callings in our life as well, too. I've been there. I understand these things. By God's grace, I believe experience is such a vital thing. The Word of God tells us that. It brings comfort to our hearts, and I pray it'll bring comfort to yours as well, too. But brothers and sisters, sometimes people get so-called Christian callings that absolutely obsess their lives. I know I'm a preacher. I've had people ask me, how long do you think you're going to preach? Today? I'm not trying to be smarty. I'm telling you, today. Right now. Now. Because the next moment, I don't know. I might not be here. Praise God if I'm not. But I don't know what He has for me tomorrow. But I know today this is what He's got me doing. And then some people, I appreciate that sweet sister. Oh, my son's going to have a music ministry and all these. Now, that would be wonderful. But it's not about that either. It's not about any of these things, brothers and sisters, what we call Christian callings. Even these things of gifts, brothers and sisters, they're wonderful. But they're wonderful in their place. Covet them. Praise the Lord. Thank the Lord. Lord, if you'll bless me with these things, wonderful. Pray for them. But the Spirit is the one that gives them. Isn't that precious? You don't have that one that you thought you had, the one that brother so-and-so said that you had. I'd rather say thank you, Lord Jesus, for what I don't have and what I do have. Because I understand it's just your Spirit that's going to give it to me. Don't be caught up into these things. Don't. That'll get you on a ship. And it's not going to be the ship of abiding. It's going to be going somewhere else, brothers and sisters. It's about the one thing. And the one thing is the love of God. And the love, hallelujah, causes me to abide. It causes me to be still. It causes me to wait. My goodness, it might even have me embrace that sweet lady called patience. All this other stuff, praise be to God, those are just byproducts of abiding. Do you realize that? Yeah. Thank you, Lord, I'm preaching your word today. Thank you, Lord, that I can minister your word. I'm thankful that you have me doing that. That's great. But I'm telling you, there was just as great a thanks as for 40 years, I sat right there with you. Maybe four or five of them in my mama's arms. I don't know. But thanks be to God, I was abiding. That's where you had me, Lord. That's just where I needed to be. Where do you want to be besides where the Lord has you? Wake up. Rejoice. Be thankful for the blood of the Lamb. Just look at that wonderful power that's in the blood. Be as that cherubim. Let our wings touch. Isn't that wonderful? Yeah. I want to soar. Praise God. And it is so simple to say, Lord, this is your lot. And what you have me doing today, I may not felt like preaching. I don't know. I don't really want to think about what I feel like anyways. Oftentimes I don't feel good. But you know what? I know He does that specifically and specially for me. Yes. And this mind doesn't feel good. This body doesn't feel good. Sometimes my spirit don't feel good. Huh? Brother, you go in that pulpit sometimes? Yeah, I do. But you know, I know who's going to be here. It's going to be Him. And you know, I know He called me here this day. So you know what? I really don't care, enemy, what you're trying to throw out. Because I know that God had a perfect plan of what we're going to do today. He's got you feeling just like you're feeling today to be here. He's got me feeling just like I am too. And I'm not trusting about that feeling. I'm just counting Him faithful for the feeling. Okay. All right. Nineveh is the hope of His calling. Nineveh is His purpose. It's His perfect will. It's His longing. It's even His passion for us. I'll close with this thought. You heard me mention about them big old trees, the redwoods. It's always amazed me to think that God only grows them in one place. Right up there on that northern coast of California. Been out there to see Him about four times. One time even with Brother Hill. He took me on my first trip through the Muir Woods. How mighty. To think of something so great came from something so small. Oh, my goodness. Oh, I pray that the Lord quicken His love in your life for you. I know there's people here today that the world thinks very little of, have walked over, has forgotten. That seed is microscopic, I'm telling you. And all you do when you walk through the valley of them giants is you just stand in awe. You stand in reverence because He's going to make known to all that He has loved her.
Whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life.
While every head is bowed, I just say thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Lord, you've brought us into that place. It is the one place where you're going to grow up in all things. That pleasing vessel to you. And truly it is in the place of abiding. No other place. God, help us not to wrestle with you anymore. Help us not to be as children tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine. Believe you're speaking to so many, Lord, here today. Whoever may hear these words, Lord God, I don't even know what time they'll ever hear these words, if so be that you choose. But we know that time is nothing to you. God, you're so far reaching. But Lord, may we take that most excellent place and abide. And abide till you come. We give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen.